we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Happy July 4th to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for your services, and I pray that you are able to enjoy your freedom this week and you took advantage of your freedom to worship yesterday. Here's the reality. If you do not exercise your freedom, that freedom is in danger of going away, and you won't miss it because you've not exercised it in the first place. And so we want to encourage you to avail yourself of the freedom that God has blessed us with here in America. And so today I'm going to be breaking from our normal study that we've been doing and touch base with you and discuss about three passages, either through today or through today and tomorrow, over the freedom that God has given to us. And we're thankful for our national freedom that was done because of taxation without representation. But we are also even more thankful for our spiritual freedom. Several years ago, a lady in our congregation had passed away. Now that I look back on it, she passed away at an age younger than I am currently. And I had to fly to Boston for her funeral. And when I got up there, her husband showed me around some of the historic sites. My daughter-in-law is from that region. She wasn't in our family at that point in time. My wife works with a lady from that region. And this family happened to be from that area. And so he took me around and showed me some of the sites. And when he did, he took me to a cemetery. And one of the interesting things that I noticed in that cemetery was I read the tombstone of a young teenager, and what had really sparked the Revolutionary War. It wasn't just the taxation without representation. It wasn't the lack of religious freedom, but it was when the British at that point in time began to attack the young people. That was what sparked the backlash. And I want to speak to you today, anybody who's out there listening on a holiday, that if you will not stand up and fight for your freedoms, if you will not utilize them for your own sake, would you do it for your kids? Would you do it for your children? Would you do it for your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren? Avail yourself of the freedom that God has blessed us with. So we want to say thank you to the servicemen and women who help make our freedoms a reality and have given of themselves to serve our country. We want to say thank you for that. I do have at the church, I still have three of what are known as the Warriors Bibles. And if you are a military person or a family of a military person and you would like to bless them, these are Bibles, study Bibles that are written by military person. The study notes themselves are written by military personnel for military personnel. And so it deals with issues that military personnel deal with that is a part of their everyday reality that some of us would never enter, into our thoughts. And so with that being said, we would like to offer those. Like I said, I have three currently available. If more people contact me, then we are set to order more. We want to just get those into your hands so that one of the greatest blights on military personnel returning. There's two of them. One is they come back and there's divorce waiting for them. Second, they come back and because of all that they've seen and endured, they are susceptible to suicide. And the third one, if you were going to throw that, is if they come back and they are no longer in the military, then they find themselves having a difficult time acclimating to the civilian workforce and the civilian workplace reality. So those are some things that we can help address with this free gift. And so contact us at 454-4263, 454-4263, area code 321. You can also reach us at meritassembly@hotmail.com, meritassembly@hotmail.com. And you can also write to us at 165 North Grove Street, 165 North Grove Street. So today we want to talk to you about freedom, the pathway to freedom, the reality of freedom. And so I want to take you to John chapter 8 this morning. John chapter 8, and it says, "Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Then Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come out of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. And that's where we're going to stop the reading today. So verse number 27, I didn't read it. It says, but they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. It was not for a lack of communication that the people did not believe Jesus. It was that they did not understand. The Word of God makes it very clear that the Scriptures are spirit and they are spiritually discerned. That means that our primary approach to the Word of God should be a spiritual approach. We should not be approaching it with our flesh. We should not be approaching it with our mind, our will, and emotions as the primary thing, but that we approach it with the Spirit. And I just felt like it might be appropriate today if we began our journey here today with a little bit of praise. Could we do that today? I know that you've got something to be thankful for. I'm sure that there are some people who are going through some difficult seasons, but I know that there's something that you can thank God for. If nothing else, thank God for the freedom that he has given to us. So can we just take a moment and praise him today? Father, we just want to thank you that it is your desire for us not to be enslaved under bondage, but Lord, that we would be free to serve you. Lord, that we would not be using our freedom as a license to sin, that we would not be using the freedom that you have blessed us with to do those things that we want to do, but Lord, that we would realize that we are free to serve you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we are free to be empowered to do the will of God. We are free to hear your voice. We are free to praise you. We are free to serve you. We are free to love you. We are thankful for the freedom that you have bestowed on us. God, I pray that as we go through this study here on freedom, this little mini study, I pray, God, that that there would be freedom from sin. There would be freedom from generational issues. Lord, there would be freedom from substance abuse. There would be freedom from destructive lifestyles. God, I pray in Jesus' name that freedom would not just be a philosophical a philosophy to be embraced, but Lord, it would be a reality in people's hearts and people's lives and people's spirits. Lord, we worship you today and we praise you in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you that you have set us free, Lord, from all of the strongholds of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So they didn't understand. And there's two approaches that you can take when you do not understand something. You can either throw your hands up in the air and say, I don't understand it. I'm never going to understand it. And walk away and fail to get it. There are a lot of things in life that I do not understand. For many of those things, I have deemed them of such a nature that other people know how they work, and therefore it is not necessary for my lifestyle, for my everyday life, to understand how that works. I don't understand how to repair a car engine. I know how to change a few parts. I know how to do a few things. There are things that I haven't known how to do, and thanks to friends and YouTube videos, I've been able to figure out how to do those things. So I'm not completely inept in those things, but I don't need to know how to do everything. However, when it comes to the things of God, there is no substitute for us. There is no one who can stand in vicariously for us and learn those things, and then we don't have to apply them to our life. God has no grandchildren. There isn't supposed to be someone who is like the children of Israel had Moses, Moses would go hear from God, come back and tell them. And they said, you know what, that's what we really want. And then when Moses came back and told them, they said, who are you? Who made you, you know, king over us? Who has left you in charge of determining where we're going to go and all of that? And so immediately after they did that, they started rebelling and grumbling and complaining against him. You and I, we need to avail ourselves. We need to apply ourselves to understand there is nothing more important than understanding the things that God wants to tell you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The word of God and understanding that word, understanding his direction, knowing his voice, that is our top priority in life. It is very, very important. You are not to be going around just meandering and feeling and stumbling your way through life. God has a very clear-cut path of life that he wants each and every one of us on. So they did not understand that he spoke to them. And so Jesus began to explain, and he said, you need to understand that when you lift up the Son of Man, that speaking of his crucifixion, he said, you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And so even though people were not seeing the Father, Jesus was telling them, the Father is teaching me as I am going through this life. The things that he teaches me, those are the things that I speak. Those are the things that I speak. And I will tell you that if you have set your path on being a learner, a lifelong learner, that your conversation is never going to grow stale. It's never going to grow boring. If you are constantly learning new things, you will be testifying. Paul was instructed to testify about the things that he had seen and the things that he had heard. When God is teaching us and we are constantly learning, then we are always going to have fresh things to communicate. So I encourage you, don't just throw up your hands and say, I'm just not equipped to do this. That is baloney. That is a lie from the pit of hell. God equips all of us to learn. One of the commentaries that I have about the Gospel of John says, it has a quote in there, that the Gospel of John is so simple that a child could understand, and it is so deep that an elephant could swim in it. And what it is saying there is, yes, there are, it is very simple to grasp the elementary concepts of the gospel, but when you begin to apply yourself to knowing God, you are going to find that there is more of him than you can ever understand. And I've said before that if I can grasp an infinite God with my finite mind, there's a problem. There's a problem. And so you and I, we don't want to take that arrogant approach that says I have nothing to learn and therefore I don't need to apply myself to that. We need to be constantly learning from God. What would our country look like if all of the Bible-believing Christians, I'm not talking about people who just belong to a church, There are churches that are doing some really wacky stuff out there, you know, just undermining the Bible, rewriting the Bible, praying to other gods other than Abba Father. They're praying to Allah and stuff like that. And I'm telling you, that just is bizarre. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. So that is who we should be praying. And God wants to teach us. He wants to fill our mouths. What would it look like if every day we approached, as Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 4 says, with an ear to hear as one being taught? What would it be like if we learned something and then we went out and told other people about it? God would be teaching us. He would be leading us to people who know, he wants to know him. Verse number 29, and he who sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Now, the early church dealt with this reality, and we still deal with it today, where some people want to take the freedom that God has made available for us by forgiving us of our sins because of his death on the cross, and using that freedom to live like the devil. This passage, John chapter 8, says that those people who are in a paternal relationship with the devil, they will act like him. And those people who are children of God, they will act like God. It says here that the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And what a goal for you and I, that we would be God pleasers. There is a book written probably 20 years ago now called God Chasers. And we need to have as one of our highest aspirations pleasing God. There is a verse that brings a great deal of comfort to people, and that is, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. But on the flip side of that coin is also a commitment on our part that we will be doing the things that please God. Jesus had this testimony. It was his delight to do the will of God. So if you are enjoying one of these, the holiday, you're not having to work, rather than just doing whatever you want, why don't you start off each day, say, God, what would you have me to do today? What are my marching orders? You know, I have the mindset at Merit Assembly of God that I have been divinely placed by my commander in chief. I didn't come there of my own choosing. I was actually called and placed there. If you were to ask me, you know, there were people who were actually, they thought I was crazy for coming to Merit Assembly of God. They teased me. They still haven't changed their mind. But it wasn't the ideal setting. It wasn't a place that you were set up to succeed. It was a very hard place, a very challenging place, a very impoverished place. But when you are divinely placed by God, we talked about this a week ago Sunday night in our Grow group, that when he plants you there to flourish. Outside of our door, our main entryway on Grove Street is a plant. It's on the north side of the building. I can remember when it was planted. It was planted as a 5-gallon plant. We were doing some landscaping, and it's in contrast with another landscaping project. See, there was one person, they came in and they planted a plant, and then they decided that they didn't like where they had planted that. So after about 2 weeks, they transplanted it someplace else. So now it has been transplanted twice in 2 weeks. 2 weeks later, they decided that it still wasn't in the right place. So they transplanted it to a third place, and then they transplanted it to a fourth place, and the plant died. It was not allowed to put down roots. It was not allowed to enjoy the benefits and the nutritions of the environment around it. It was constantly being moved, and that was a recipe for death. Now I want to tell you about this plant that is on the north side of our main entryway. It was a 5-gallon plant. It's been there for a couple of decades now, been there for a long, long time. And we had a lady that came to the church, and she was wanting to find out what type of plant it was. And she thought that it might be a bird of paradise. And so she went and she talked to a horticulturist and said, we've got this bird of paradise, but it is growing. Now our roof is a little over 14 foot high. At about 13 feet, you start hitting the soffit of the building and stuff like that. And this plant was growing up into the soffit. And as she talked to this horticulturist said, birds of paradise don't grow that tall. They just don't get that tall because they would have to be, according to his description, this plant would have to be very happy. In other words, it would have to be the ideal conditions for that plant in order for it to reach heights that this lady was describing to it. And she showed him a picture, and he says, well, that is a bird of paradise. And she said, well, then this plant is absolutely ecstatic. It had been planted in exactly the right environment, the right amount of sun, the right amount of shade, the right amount of hydration, and it was thriving. And God wants to do that for you and I. If we will set out each day with the goal in mind of experiencing all that God has for us, knowing that he has planted us in a place that he intends for us to flourish. Everybody likes to quote Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 11. The reality was those instructions were being sent by Jeremiah to the captives in Babylon, and God was telling them, I've got this. I've got this. I've planted you here, and my desire is for you to increase here and not decrease here. I have the plans to do you good and not to harm you. I know what I have in store for you. You just thrive. And so we were talking in our grow group here a little over, well, about 8 days ago. And when you are planted by God, when you begin to flourish, it says you will be fruitful even in your old age. I want to challenge you. I'm sure that a number of the people who are listening to this broadcast are seasoned in their walk with God. I want to challenge you to this, and I believe it's a God-given goal. Let's make the latter years of our life more spiritually productive than ever before. Let's live out the Word of God. Let's communicate the Word of God. Let's love people with the love that only God can bestow upon us. Let's love the unlovely. Let us go out and live in the freedom that God has given to us, that we can live in a manner that pleases Him. Live in a manner that pleases God. As He spoke these words, many believed in Him. If you and I will begin to live in a manner where we say, you know what? We're not here to offend, but we are here to please God. Whether it's right to please men or please God, you decide. But as for us, if we can echo Joshua, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to please the Lord. You make your choice of what you're going to do, but we are going to please Him. And so I want to say thank you to those from First Baptist Church of Merritt Island. I recently got a bunch of cards in the mail from them. I get about once a year. They pray for the other pastors, the other churches in the community. And I was even having lunch with one of our men a week ago. And saw somebody in there that I knew who goes to First Baptist Church, and he said, hey, our pastor just had us praying for you. And I said, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And we honor Pastor Titus and all of the saints there at Merritt Island First Baptist. And we just partnered with them with a fundraiser at the Alternative Pregnancy Center. And we want to just commend them for the great work that they are doing here in Brevard County. Father, we want to thank you for the freedom we have here in America. I pray, God, that we will not squander it, we will not waste it, but we would live in it to the fullest for your glory and your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are.
still my praise to you is like a